And so it begins.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation, is Mr. Know-It-All.
John, I love your show.
It is 10:10. Happy Friday to you. How much fun is that? Happy Friday to you. 11:40, let's do the bright side of life. You'll call in, say good things in your world. Tell me why you're smiling. We'll smile with you. It's going to be called The Bright Side. A little bit before that, we'll do week number three now of a new feature we call Numbers in the News, our current events quiz. Have you been paying attention to the news? Quick, what percentage of the people in Scotland registered to vote? Did you say 97%, you'd be right. That's how we do Numbers in the News. The current events quiz, you win a prize. We'll do that around 11:30. Kim, Mary, Decker, you guys all knew that, right? 97% of the people that could have voted in the Scotland election did register, right? 97%. 97 would be the right answer on that.
Yeah, well, I thought it was 85.
I thought the turnout was 85, yeah.
97% registered.
85% turned out.
Voted.
Right.
Okay, how about this one? This is one that was in the news, but I'm the only one I think that saw it. Summer is over. I shouldn't be doing the quiz early, but I'll just give you the feel for it, and then we'll play the game for real at 11:35. Summer is over. I saw the statistic, and it kind of waylaid me. How many people did Los Angeles lifeguards rescue this summer? 123, 546, or 10,000? The correct answer is 10,000. 10,000?
That's crazy.
What do you people not know how to swim? Stay out of the water.
They need to pass out floaties.
I don't even know what that means, but it said 10,000 people were deemed rescued. Maybe, you know, not all of them are being pulled from the jaws of sharks, but 10,000 people were rescued by LA lifeguards this summer. So explain that one to me. Okay, there, I've given you two. We do 10. We do that a little later on. You know, it's been kind of a rough week. I mean, with the NFL news, and it just seems like every week it's always a little exhausting by the time you get to Friday. And that's why I was just so appreciative of the Derek Jeter ad. Did you see this, the Gatorade ad?
It's phenomenal.
Isn't this just the most wonderful thing?
The final curtain.
Jeter's in a cab.
You know what?
My friend,
I'll walk from here.
Tells the cabbie I'll get out. And so now he's walking to the ball game. Yeah, Jeter does that. But still.
What's happening, fellas? Who's winning?
We are.
Hey.
Jeter.
This is Stan.
We've been waiting for you to come in here since 98 at the least.
You never invited me.
We're here now. Thank you.
So he's just glad-handed people. You know, the best part about it is that you really do feel like they actually did this. The awe, the shock, the joy in people's faces as he's walking around.
Me either.
Black, in my mind, it's black and white. Is this thing in black and white?
If not himself.
It just looks like Jeter walking through the Bronx, you know, on his way to the game. But then, and it's 90 seconds long, and you don't even know it's a Gatorade ad, but you know you're going to be sold something, and you're okay with that at the end of the commercial, right? So he gets to Yankee Stadium, and now he is standing in the clubhouse or the gateway before he goes out onto the field. He's just got an amazing physique. He wears his uniform so well, and the place is packed. And Jeter, it must be a singular experience for him, Jeter. Ready to walk out onto the field once again at Yankee Stadium.
To say the things
he looks at the camera.
He truly feels
and just nods.
And
yeah, I got it. I'm Derek freaking Jeter, right?
The record shows I took the blows and
the crowd just goes bananas and he runs out onto the field. And you just go, I want a good. I told Brenda, I called her when I saw it, and I said, quick, get a case of Gatorade. We don't even like this stuff. We're drinking orange Gatorade tonight. Man. Good ad. Thank you, Gatorade. And you know, the problem with that, and I know it, it's like I see that as the antidote to my disenchantment with the Ray Rices and the Adrian Petersons, pick them of the world. But as soon as you throw in with one of these guys, they end up breaking your heart. Jeter's been largely controversy-free. He didn't get caught up in the steroids scandal. He wasn't in the Mitchell report. He's been single all these years. He's had pretty girlfriends, but it's just been nothing stupid or awful. And so I'm like, you go, Derek Jeter. I love that guy. But you have to reserve your enthusiasm for the celebrities or the athletes that you want to admire, because just as soon as you go, the guy's a boy that he ran out onto the field. And then they go, well, did you hear the thing about the thing? And you go, no, don't tell me. I don't want to know that. Please don't tell me. So let's just sit back and enjoy the Derek Jeter ad. I posted it on my Facebook page and just threw in a couple of lines about it. And folks are watching it and sharing it there. You can too. Facebook.com/KingJohn is me. Also on my Facebook page, below that, I put something that I thought, Decker, I thought every now and then I feel like I've got an opinion or an observation, and when I turn around, there's going to be a parade of people behind me. They're just going to go, you go, John, we're so with you. This was not one of those instances. This is one where I thought I'd put it up and everybody would just be touched by it, and I didn't get much of a response, and the response I did was kind of snarky and sarcastic. But it was from the police blotter of my local paper. And I wrote, I can't say I've read anything more touching in a long time. If you know someone who writes country music, share this with them. The town was Excelsior, August 23rd. And in my local paper yesterday, this simple 1-2-sentence blurb appeared. Welfare check. Someone called police to report a man and a crying woman. Officers located the two and found the woman was crying because they had just dropped their son off at college. And I thought, oh, that is so awesome. That is such a sweet little story. It's so touching, right? And people were saying, oh, yeah, wait till you get the bill. Or the only sound you heard when my kid went away to college was the popping of the champagne cork and stuff like that. And I get that. I had all of those feelings too. But you can just see that scene. Maybe they're in the car. Maybe they're on the front step of the house. Maybe they've pulled over to a roadside Denny's. I don't know where they are, but she's crying. And somebody said, oh, there may be a problem here. And the officer comes up and says, what's the problem here? She says, our son just went away to the U. And then the officer, and he's got a kid in college too, kind of smiles, puts his hand on their shoulder. I'm extrapolating now, but wouldn't that be a scene? And then I don't know what the country singer, maybe this isn't a country song. Maybe it's a Rupert Holmes song. I don't know, but
they made a song. It's called Letting Go.
I know. A lot of people said this is...
We need a new version.
This is the Kathy and Judy bit. I've never loved the song the way Kathy and Judy do, and I've tried to do that bit, and I can't do it. They own it. But it just seems to me like there ought to be a song, a new song. I don't know if it's a country song, but it's about, letting go. Or just having that moment. And maybe it's one of those songs where it just tells the story, you know. And then the cop came up and he said, what's the problem? That wouldn't be how the song goes. But it would just tell the story about that scene. I thought it was terrific. But I've been wrong before. I want to preview what we're going to do in the 11 o'clock hour. We are going to talk a little bit about whether or not the high school, the new prep school on the north side, should be named after President Barack Obama. I'm pretty shocked and disappointed by what I'm reading in the paper today. We'll get to all of that in a few. John Williams on WGN.
Feel and should be feared and hated.
I say we're victims of bad press. It's all exaggerated. We'd never stab you in the back. We'd never lie or cheat. We're just about the nicest guy you'd ever want to meet. Well, look
today
at
us. Today is National Talk Like a Pirate Day. You probably knew that. I don't know why there's Talk Like a Pirate Day, but it is Talk Like a Pirate Day. And once you get that in your mind, it's hard to not say, hey, Lois on line 4, welcome to the show. What's on your mind? I think I just started to sound German there, actually.
I think sounds a little Scottish. Maybe you're thinking about Scotland and the UK.
I don't. Well, how does a pirate sound then, Kim? Do your pirate for us.
I mean, it's like, aye, aye, matey, you know, arr. I'm not very good either, so I shouldn't criticize.
No, that's okay. I felt that came from a constructive place. I don't think you were just being critical. Let me try it again. Hey, let's take some calls, matey.
Arr. That's getting a little better.
I think that if you want to do it, you should almost have to vow, if you're really going to channel true Viking, to not go to the cliche arr. But maybe that's how you first find the voice. It does. Maybe the pirates were a little Scottish. I don't think I can stop talking like this. Arr, matey.
I've been watching movie clips to find Talk Like a Pirate. And Dustin Hoffman in the movie Hook, he's Captain Hook.
Phenomenal.
He doesn't talk like a pirate, though.
No.
He kind of talks British.
Well, can you play that for us? All right, so when you've got Dustin Hoffman talking like a pirate on this Talk Like a Pirate Day, let me know and we'll play it on the radio. That does sound Scottish. It doesn't sound like a pirate at all, does it? Okay, let me know when you got it, Deck. Ready?
Daddy, let's go home.
Please. Robin Williams is in it.
He's just a mean old
man. So you just get all sad.
Mommy.
Yeah, Dad, let's go. You can't hurt us anymore.
Bless your child, good form, Jack.
Okay, that's Robin Williams, right?
What would no, that's Hook.
Like that's Hook.
Captain Hook.
I want you to take your ship.
So I didn't think you talked like a pirate.
See, I think more of like Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's the one I'm thinking of. I mean, that's just fun. That's, you know, I don't know, maybe, I don't know what old-time pirate, right now, 21st century pirates have Somali accents. Let's be clear about it. But the old time pirates were thinking about, I don't know exactly what they did sound like. Maybe they'd look at us and go, what are you guys doing? We didn't talk like that. But I suspect that we know, you know, a little bit. And I think of Johnny Depp when I think of what a pirate sounds like. So in the 11 o'clock hour, a little after 10:30, we're going to go back to the Vivian Maier story, the story of those photographs which were unearthed and which there is a battle about. And I'm pretty fascinated by this story because I think that it's clear to most of us who should get the negatives and who should control the use of the photographs, and that is this John Maloof guy or the other people that have them. But we put an attorney on the other day, and he said, you know, it's just not that way. And he made a pretty good argument, I don't think convincing, but he made his best argument for why somebody else in France should have control of these photographs. It's just an interesting legal story. And the pictures are just breathtaking. They're just such a wonderful story behind them. So we'll get to that after 10:30. Then on the 11 o'clock hour, I want to talk about naming a high school after President Obama. And I have to tell you that I am sorry to see the controversy that the naming of President Obama's high school, a high school named after President Obama, has generated. Rahm Emanuel announced that he would name the school after his former boss, the president. They found $60 million in a TIF district on the north side. So it's going. That's where the school is going to go. That's where the money is supposed to be spent. They're going to build this state-of-the-art high school. And so Emanuel asks Obama, secretly, of course, because that's how Emanuel does everything, what do you think of us naming the school for you? The president said thumbs up. So then Rahm Emanuel announces it. And when he does, on the south side, that is seen as some sort of, well, dis isn't the right word, but people on the south side of the city evidently are upset because the school isn't on the south side named after President Obama. I don't think they would mind a school being named after the president, but they don't like that the school is on the north side, particularly on the heels of closing 50 city schools. So now they say not only do you close a bunch of schools, but then you put this gleaming new high school on the north side, and then to add insult to injury, you name it after President Obama. And that last part is where I think I have a real problem. I don't think naming the high school after the current president disses anybody anywhere. It's not inappropriate. Does Barack Obama always have to be the black president, or can't he just be the Chicago president? And yet there are some aldermen saying, no, he's not a north side guy. He's South Chicago. And I can't imagine, say, if there were a Ronald Reagan high school and it was going to go on the south side, anyone being able to get away with saying, no, wait a minute, Ronald Reagan is a North Side president. He's our guy. He's not your guy. He's everybody's president, isn't he? We'll get into this a little bit more after 11 o'clock on WGN. 10:37. Thank you, Kim. It's John Williams. Happy Friday to you. Our Bright Side of Life segment will come your way at 11:40. And before that, at 11:30, Numbers in the News, our current events quiz. You could win a prize. And frankly, you'll just have fun. So we've been following the Vivian Maier story here on the show for the last couple of weeks. Remember, she's the woman whose undeveloped film was discovered. A guy paid a few hundred dollars for thousands and thousands of rolls, and as he started to develop the film, he had actually bought, I think, at auction, like in one of these warehouses. He started to realize that he had this treasure trove of amazing street photography from a person that no one ever really knew, a woman who had never married, didn't have any family. She would take pictures on the streets of Chicago and sometimes get it developed, but often not. And as he's starting to look at the photographs, he starts to show them to other people. The film has now been displayed in galleries and museums from Chicago to Moscow. Some say it represents one of the most significant finds or displays of photography of the 20th century, from mid-1950s to late 1990s, the back half of that century, she was taking pictures. And the stuff's just breathtaking. Scenes she's captured, moments and emotions. You look at this stuff, what do you or I know about photography, right? And you go, wow, these are really great pictures. In fact, a friend of ours just recently gave us a book, a collection of her photographs. But now there's a big debate about who owns the rights to those. And so the guy who said, well, I bought the film, I developed it, I control it, there was this attorney named David Deal out east, a Virginia-based attorney and former commercial photographer himself. And this Deal guy said, quote, I had a bad feeling about it, it being the fact that these photographs are being exposed and yet nobody in her family is actually reaping the rewards. So he hired a genealogist, this Deal guy did, and he was able to find a man, a retired government bureaucrat in the mountain town of Gap in southeast France, who is believed to be Vivian Maier's first cousin once removed, whatever that means. This man never heard of Vivian Maier. He didn't even believe that these photographs exist, thought it might be some sort of scam, but lo and behold, he said, okay, I'll be the litigant in this case. So now they will try and ask the courts to determine who owns the rights to the film, because this guy is family. One of the people who has some of the photography, some of the photographs, is Jeffrey Goldstein. He's an art collector and president of Vivian Maier Photography. Hey, Jeffrey, it's John Williams. You're on WGN. How are you?
Very good, John. Thanks for having me online. I appreciate it.
So where are you based out of? Are you a Chicagoan too?
Yeah, so I'm up here in Rogers Park.
I see. How did you come across Vivian Maier stuff?
It's a rather long story, so there's
give
a
me the short version of that.
The short version is I go to a flea market, and I know some of the original buyers. And there was early on the story of this photographer that was getting a lot of interest. So through these people, I was able to network and acquire part of a collection.
I see. So you weren't getting it at maybe the rock bottom price that John Maloof guy did. He paid $400 for the whole lot. You paid a little more, I guess, huh?
Right. And actually, the story is far more complex, and there's a few additional owners out there of material. But basically, John and I have a majority of the collection. So there is, at one point, John and I made a conjoined purchase. And this is important information, I think, for the audience and for David Deal, because there's been a questioning sort of the integrity of us and the project and what we've invested in and what we've been taken out. So at one point, John and I made a conjoined purchase of Vivian Maier's work for $140,000.
Oh, wow.
So it's a mistake to think that this was a very inexpensive project to add.
Yeah. Well, $140,000 investment. Was that in literally buying secondhand some of the photographs and negatives, or was that in developing them, editing them, software, stuff like that?
That wasn't the material itself, so it included negatives and prints and undeveloped rolls of film.
So now you're the president of Vivian Maier Photography. What is that?
Well, it's a company that I put together, an incorporated company. And if I can just take a moment, I just want to explain my background, because there's an importance to understand who's the caretaker of these projects. So I was a custom cabinet maker and a fine arts painter. I closed both of those occupations down for this project. I was close friends with Ed Paschke. I do work in friends with Jim Nutt, Carl Wersum, Richard Hunt. So I come from a strong art background, including connections with galleries and collectors. So when this material came in, I realized, and again, a great deal of risk, this had the potential of becoming a very interesting project. So I hired Ann Zakaris, who's still with me on the project. We developed a larger space. We now have an office space. And we work basically on an international basis with this project. It's absolutely immense.
It's taken five years?
Yeah, we're into our fifth year. And we have basically an international infrastructure that's been created over time.
And yet, I think I'm on your side. I think we're all kind of figuring this story out as it unfolds in the newspapers and documentary films and whatever, Jeffrey. But I think I'm on your side. I appreciate the care and the sincerity and, for that matter, the money that you're putting into this business. But at the end of the day, I don't know that that's the issue. The issue is, should a surviving heir control the rights to that work, regardless of who has the physical product, who should control the rights to that?
We're totally on board. I mean, whoever is heir legally does have the controlling rights. And in this case, another story that's been overlooked on this is John Maloof and I worked in tandem for 3.5 years to vet heir. So we spent tens of thousands of dollars literally during the course of this process. So when David Deal stepped in, I mean, a lot of the information was already out there. You know, John and I didn't even know where Vivian Maier came from. And we ended up being able to determine that based on going through innumerable photographs, looking at church steeples to figure out towns in this small valley of the Champsaur Valley.
Well, who do you think should control the rights to the film?
Well, the person that we ended up vetting is a fellow who's also a first cousin once removed, named Sylvain Jussaud.
So should he control it, or have you come to some sort of contractual agreement with him?
Yes, we have a contractual agreement for perpetuity with him. So I guess what we're doing now, we're in a waiting game because ultimately Cook County, you know, will decide who is proper heir. It's quite possible, and this is where it gets, you know, kind of more and more complex. Both of these people could be correct. We're being told there could be more than two heirs with this. So the complexity becomes we may end up with a conglomeration of people who have heir, and somehow a deal has to be worked out with them. But we've always been very respectful, and we work very hard as far as finding heir from the very start.
Well, then how do you feel about what David Deal has unearthed, this other guy in the town of Gap in southeastern France?
I really have no issue with that because the law is the law, and we totally get that part of it. I guess the part that we have difficulties with is some of the accusations as far as the integrity of what we've done, because it's been overlooked that we've gone through a much more elaborate, longer process. And I guess the wish would have been, if we could turn back the clock, would be to have him approach us directly in a gentlemanly fashion, because I'm sure if he had information that he could have presented, we could have worked things out. The problem now is out of everybody's hands, and it's in Cook County's hands, and I'm being told this could take 4 to 10 years to resolve.
Oh, Lord. You know, this is why I want to be king someday, Jeffrey. You guys would all walk into my court, and they'd go, hey, here's the deal. We got these things, but then these people who, you know, they found in Timbuktu are related, so I guess they should be cut in. And I would say, okay, fine. Finders keepers, losers weepers. You guys didn't even know you had a cousin named Vivian, so we're going to let you in on it a little bit. But mostly, Goldstein and Maloof are going to get most of the money, and they certainly have the photographs and negatives. And you guys, I'm going to give you 40 and the other guy 40 and you 10 and you 10. And there, I just solved it. How about that, Jeffrey?
I would like to be part of your kingdom.
I mean, really, this is ridiculous. And I think a lot of people do. I respect the law, and I appreciate the fact that somebody out there must feel like they just lost the lottery ticket because they didn't know Vivian was their cousin once removed. But I think by the same token, if you guys are lucky enough to unearth these things, then I think the reward goes to you. So I'm on you. I don't know how other people feel about it. I'm going to take some phone calls here in a second, Jeffrey. But by and large, I think I'm on your side.
Yeah, and if I could just mention one more thing before you take calls, and there is another facet to this. Vivian Maier had a brother who would be more direct lineage than anybody in France, and his name was Charles Maier. And Charles Maier changed his name, and he was the last location we could come up with him was on the East Coast. So maybe through this radio program, people will start doing some investigational work on their own. But it's quite possible, and in some ways we hope, just to streamline things, that there's actually an heir stateside.
Well,
maybe he's alive, maybe he's not, but if he's not, if he had kids, they would trump the French connection, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Listen, if you're related to Vivian Maier, don't call. We don't want that. It's getting too complicated as it is. So this book that I have, this gift book of photographs, which cost somebody $40, I think. Who got that $40 then, Jeffrey?
Who's the author of the book?
I don't have it in front of me. I think it was $37.95, and it was at a bookstore in Chicago.
Well, John has a couple books out, and then I've worked with the great authors Michael Williams and Richard Cahan. So the arrangements I made with them, because we're a very collaborative project. All we do is these exhibitions, and other people come in, and we basically help them with their projects.
Yeah.
So the terms I have with Michael and Richard basically were that I would have no input in their books, I would have no imagery selection in their books, I would receive no proceeds from the books. Because I wanted them to do the best that they could possibly do. And the recognition, too, these are all our projects, you know, which have their own sense of fragility with them. So you may have Michael and Richard's book, and so they are, you know, and we want them to do as well as they can.
But I wonder then, probably there may be some clawback if somebody is somehow profiting from this, and then the courts determine that the cousins actually are due money because they own the rights, and so then you guys may have to give some money back.
Yeah, well here's the total bummer I'm going to put out on that for them. To give you an idea, with this project, we're entering our fifth year, so the first 2 years cost time and money. Besides the material costs, I had to put additional money into it. This last year, and this I think is important information for the audience too. Last year, this project grossed about $480,000 to $500,000, which is fantastic. The galleries took half, so I have a little under $250,000. Out of that $250,000, I have four employees, office space, two attorneys, an incorporated company, accounting, shipping, framing. I'm not salaried. In fact, this project owes me a tremendous amount of back pay. I work basically for the sweat equity of the collection. So there is this understanding that hundreds of thousands of dollars float into these projects, but simultaneously, hundreds of thousands of dollars float back out. We make darkroom silver gelatin prints, and last year we sold about 250 prints, which means each print prorated by all the costs that we need to do this project with costs roughly $1,000 per print to produce.
Hmm. So you're a little upside down on this project right now, aren't you?
Yeah, well, unfortunately, this is the first year that we're starting to show some profitability, but we're having to streamline things now because of Cook County. So we're hoping to break even again.
Those are two of the most heartbreaking words in a conversation like this, Cook County. And you go, no, don't go there. You'll never come out. That's a rabbit hole. Jeffrey Goldstein is the art collector and president of Vivian Maier Photography. Okay, we'll stay in touch, Jeffrey. I'm fascinated by the story. If there's anything I can do for you, bury somebody, find somebody, become king, and streamline
king.
This thing.
become king, that's our only hope.
I'll do what I can for you, man. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck to you, sir. Good luck.
Thanks,
okay.
So.
Yeah. Any thoughts? 651, or pardon me, I think I'll do the Chicago number. 312-981-7200. John Williams on WGN.
And now, here with an unlimited supply of misinformation is Mr. Know-It-All.
John, I love your show.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Kim. 1108. We'll get to the president's story in just a second, but we're about to do a segue in 3, 2, 1. Hit it.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like a room without room.
Do the blender.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is truth.
Don't let dance, I know.
Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know.
Unless, of course, you're driving. Sorry. It's 11:08. Kim, what was the story that you did about Pharrell and the people getting whipped?
Okay, so there were six young Iranian men and women who were videotaped dancing to Pharrell, and the director and the people dancing in the video were sentenced to 6 months in jail and 91 lashes, but the verdict won't be carried out unless they do something bad in the future.
Oh, so they're on probation.
So they're on probation.
God, that is 2014, folks. That is right now, today. People with the internet and modern medical and airplanes. I mean, every bit as modern and able to consume the world as you and I are living in a regime that says, if you dance to happy, we'll hit you with a lash 91 times and put you in jail for half a year.
And how did they pick that random 91? Like, it's not 90? I mean, 91?
I don't know.
One to grow on? I mean, what is that all about?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's a joke somewhere in there. I don't even know what it is. That's insane. That's crazy. Is that one of those videos that we've seen? Because there was...
I don't know. I didn't see that anywhere. I just saw this on an AP rundown. Not
in the back
sure.
of my mind. You know what maybe I'm playing back in my head is just the 24-hour Pharrell video of that, in which people all around the world, celebrities and not, are dancing to it and lip-syncing to it. And you see it going through the Middle East and countries where maybe you do get whipped. I mean, how weird is it to think that that's a measure of courage or outrage if you decide to dance to that Western song? And I don't, maybe it's men are dancing with women. Maybe they didn't have enough clothes on. Isn't that crazy?
It really is. You think they want to make people feel good when you hear that song. You can't help it.
Well, we can't have that. And I'll tell you what, that's where the revolution starts. Don't you think? It's like you keep oppressing people, but now there's a World Wide Web, and now they see that other people are happy and dancing. And the young people in these countries, this is just my wish list, but they'll realize that there's a whole planet out there and that we're not all enemies and we don't have horns and we're not the devil and we make this nice song and you're dancing too. I think I remember that was one of my thoughts when I first saw Pharrell's video, was that there's something beyond this just being a nice song. There's something very positive and unifying about this. And maybe that's why they come down hard on it. They don't want them to know. Huh. Okay, it's 11:12. Amid controversy, Emanuel drops plans to name school after Obama. This is Fran Spielman's story in the Chicago Sun-Times. Mayor Rahm Emanuel is dropping plans to name a new $60 million selective enrollment high school on the near north side after his former boss, President Barack Obama. An avalanche of controversy has hit, seemed to generate nonstop chatter on black radio and snide comments from black elected officials like Alderman Leslie Hairston in the 5th Ward, who said he, speaking about the mayor now, should work harder to make sure that there is a grocery store in Jeffrey Plaza. He needs, she said, to put the same effort into her community that he's putting into building a school named after the president from my ward. There's no connection, she said. The connection with the president is with the south side of Chicago. Again, it's like we're living in a cordoned-off part of the city. Everything being done is being done north, but we're still paying taxes on the south side. You can go through the Department of Planning and Development handbook for the last year. Everything is on the north side. Delmarie Cobb, a veteran political consultant who represents Hairston and several other black aldermen, said she views the name change as a desperate attempt by the mayor to ingratiate himself with black voters he has alienated. I don't think it's only that, but I also think, okay, good, I'll give you that, maybe, or at least a measure of that. He knows he's done all these things to insult black people. This was just one more thing. And now, because he knows he's going to have opposition, he's trying to rectify all of the things he did. She said it was really insulting that he was going to put all of this money in building a new school so close to two other selective enrollment schools after closing 50 schools in predominantly African-American communities, then naming the school after President Obama, who came from the south side. Obama's roots are not on the north side. It was insult to injury. Could he have a more tin ear? I'm looking for some reaction to that. The announcement was shrouded in secrecy, but it was cleared by the White House. At the time, Emanuel told reporters he'd spoken to the president about the honor and that his former boss was pleased, to say the least. He knows about it. He's excited about it, Rahm Emanuel said. In that same story, the Sun-Times reported that naming the school after the nation's first African-American president would require the Chicago Board of Education to either change or make an exemption to its long-standing policy of naming schools only after the dead. In a Chicago Sun-Times poll last spring, only 29% of those surveyed and 8% of African Americans said they would support Rahm Emanuel if the election were held today. That was last spring. In classic Emanuel fashion, the story about the name change was leaked to New York Daily News columnist Jim Warren, who has long had a pipeline to Emanuel from their days together in Washington, D.C. I think the way these sorts of things work, if it's not going to be named after the president, then per order of succession, the school will now have to be named Joe Biden Polytech. And the school motto is going to be, "We'll follow our enemy to the gates of hell." So is it wrong to name the school on the north side after President Barack Obama? We'll pause here. You tell me what you think next on WGN. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy, clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Because I'm happy, clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Bring me down. Shout out to the kids in Iran dancing to this. Getting jailed or whipped for it. Isn't that crazy? It's 11:19 on WGN. This is John Williams. That song is not old yet either. How many times have you heard that in a commercial, on a radio station, on your iPod?
Too many times.
Does anybody have iPods anymore? No, I'm arguing that it's not old yet. Are you getting tired of that song now?
I kind of am.
Oh, no, it hasn't happened to me yet. Every time I hear that, I still smile. I'm still leaning into the speaker.
And I can't help but start tapping my foot.
Every time they say room without a roof, I go, what?
A room without a roof. He actually, that means something. Don't ask me what it means. I'm doing the blender.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about it too. But
I'm just doing the blender right now. My arms are going back and forth. I'm on sort of a low gyrate. All right, let's pick up some phone lines. We're asking you if you think it's wrong to name a school on the near north side after President Barack Obama. I think that is, okay, fine, whatever. I'm asking the questions now. So we'll let Myrna answer first. You're on WGN. Myrna.
After dancing to happy, you want me to open up Pandora's box?
Go ahead, girl. I know it's a tough segue, but if you have something hostile to say, I opened it up, so go ahead.
Okay. I want to know why Barack Obama is identified as an African-American president. Barack Obama, as far as my information is concerned, is a mixed-race individual. I don't think he can be identified as one specific race unless that's something he chooses to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Am I wrong? Are we just singling out that half of his heritage?
Okay, Myrna, a few folks have called to say as much. I appreciate your thoughts on that. I think you are wrong. I think Barack Obama's a black president because his skin is dark colored. He looks like an African-American. I've always felt this, and I've never understood the controversy about his heritage unless you want to make a point about the fact that his mom was white. That's fine. But I think the black experience is a function of the skin. If we are having a bias about somebody, you don't know if their mom or dad is black or blue, but you know that they have dark-colored skin, and that's the root of the prejudice. That's a black guy. I don't care where you came from. If you have the tone of skin that the president does, you are a black person. You are a black president. To me, it's no more complicated than that. And I think all the baggage that comes with that comes with the skin color you have. If, for instance, Barack Obama was so fair-skinned that we didn't know he was African-American, I would say he's a white president. Maureen, you're on the air. You're on WGN.
This is Beverly, not Maureen.
Hi, Beverly. How are you?
I'm very good, and I'm real happy to have you back.
Thank you.
I'm a white person, and I'm a Southsider, and I'm not a Barack Obama supporter, but I do believe he's the south side of the school, belongs on the south side.
Yeah, I appreciate your thoughts on that, Beverly. I'm going to go from you now to Nick. I think a lot of people are going to say that. Nick, what do you want to say?
Hey, Nick. I'm sorry. Hey, John. I just wanted to say that, you know, I'm from the north side. I live in Lincoln Park, but, you know, Barack's from the south side. And, you know, the school should, if they're going to put one, they should put it there and name it after him because that's where he's from.
Nick, thanks for the phone call. Just to be clear, the school's going to be where it's going to be. They're not going to pick it up and put it on the south side because the money is dedicated to that area. It's a tax increment financing district. The money has to be spent there. So you can wait and build another school or something else later on, but this school has to stay where it is. Raymond, you're on the air. What do you want to say?
Well, I read the Chicago Tribune and this morning, and the comments that were made, and there was a primary reason for them not wanting to have the school named after him was because the population is mostly white. To me, that's a racist statement. That's where the school should be. If we're trying to do away with this racial thing, then what we're doing here is saying we can't have it there because he's a black president. We've got to put on a black neighborhood. That is racial. And if that had been said by a white alderman, for an example, they'd be trying to lynch him.
If everything were reversed on this, the colors of the president, the population, and the aldermen, I think you're absolutely right. We'd be aghast. This is Rick. You're on WGN. Rick, what do you want to say? You're on the air.
Hi, good morning. I think if you're going to have a library put in your name, then you need to do something noteworthy to have that in your name. And quite frankly, he's been such a bad president, I don't think they should let a library in his name at all.
Thanks for the call. And obviously, we're talking about the high school. We were talking about the library, too. But this is, where does the high school go and what name will it have? It'll be on the north side. The question is it appropriate to name a high school on the north side after Barack Obama? Debbie, you're on the air.
Hey, John, you're totally wrong. Barack Obama claims he's multiracial. And what I'm tired of always having is whatever race it is, they want to claim it as theirs when it's only advantageous to them. You know, he is not a black president. You're wrong on that. You could look up every type of research on it. He claims he's multiracial.
Well, he is. He is multiracial, but his skin is black. And I think if when he was a boy walking down the streets of Honolulu, somebody would see him and they would not know he was multiracial. Whatever bias is attendant to the color of your skin, Barack Obama lived with that as a little boy because he's always been black. I think his wife is black. His children look African American. I know he has a white mother, but if you said, what does it mean to be a black American or black president anyway, except that it has something to do with the color of the skin and what went with that, and that was Barack Obama's experience. No? No? I mean, that's the way I view this one. But that's kind of a tangent to this conversation anyway. Thanks for the call. Leslie, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, King John. How are you?
I'm good. What's on your mind?
Okay, so the money was allocated to the north side. He's the president. He deserves to have the school named after him, no matter what side it's on. But in order for everybody to calm down, what if we have Barack Obama High School North, and then when the South side gets the money, they could have Barack Obama High School South?
If that's I like the sound of that, and then somebody's going to tap me on the shoulder and go, that's a crazy idea. Now you've got North and South, and it's bad. I don't know. But, yeah, I was wondering, why can't we have two schools with his name on it? Did you see the story in the Tribune today? Thank you, Leslie. There's fish, lizards, spiders, food groups or dishes in restaurants. Everything that can be named after somebody has already been named after Barack Obama, so perhaps we could have more than one school with his name on it in this city. Hey, Lee, you're on the air.
Well, hello, King John. I just wanted to point out that Barack Obama is president of the United States. So that's the north side, the south side, all the way to Nome, Alaska, down to Key West. He's president of all the states.
Oops. He's president of all. We cut you off there. Finish that sentence, Lee. He's president of all the states.
Yes.
Yeah. I appreciate your calling. I think that's the point I'm trying to make, too. You just did a better job of it. Randy, you're on the air. What do you want to say, Randy?
Hi, John. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I don't think it matters about his race, naming a school after him. I think it has to do more with his support of education And if they're going to name a school after somebody, they should do it more after Michelle or Mrs. Obama than him.
Yeah, man, maybe that could be the Southside School. I mean, you know, give one to Malia for crying out loud. There's four of them. Okay, thank you, Randy. Well put. This is Bert. You're on WGN. What's your thought, Bert?
Yeah, John, I'm like, I get so sad when people always call in your show putting down the President of the United States. He has accomplished so much for the people of the United States. He had to take over such a horrible mess that the other president left him. It's unbelievable. It was almost a depression. And he pulled us all out of the depression. He got health care for millions of people. I have a whole list that I could just go through of all his accomplishments. And I'm just so sick and tired of people not understanding how much he's had to put up with.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Although maybe this is at least one instance where people are fighting over his name because they do want it, right? The mayor wants it on the north side. The south side said, no, he's ours. At least they're not saying, no, you take him. No, you take him. I appreciate your call, Bert. Thanks for getting in here. Let's do the news. Then we'll do our numbers in the news. It's a current events quiz. You're going to have fun doing this. We'll close the show on the bright side on WGN. By the way, Kim, you know how they're doing the new... You know, everybody lined up today to get their I-6, right?
Right.
It's all the rage. Well, so they said this would be the day. Well, the day came earlier to Perth, Australia than it did to Chicago. So it was in Perth that the first I-6 was actually going to be purchased. And so everybody was there to watch the world's first I-6 actually be bought by a customer. And then he opens it, and they all look in, and the TV reporters and cameras are there live, and they drop it on the ground. Bam!
Can you imagine? And you know he didn't have a case yet.
No, he didn't have a case. He literally took it out of the white box.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're all looking. He goes, whoa, bam! I don't know if he cracked
it. I think it survived, though.
It did? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope so. I hope so. Because everybody and the reporter cussed. She goes, oh, bleep, because she just felt so bad for
the kid. Oh, it's horrible.
But
that
I
would
guess...
not be a good bright side to break your iPhone on in minute one.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, that cements your 15 minutes of fame now, doesn't it?
For sure.
You were the guy that was on TV that broke the thing.
Numbers, na 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 na, numbers in the news, oh yeah.
Oh, it's time.
It's time to play with numbers.
And there is no prize. Yeah.
This is our Numbers in the News current events quiz. We do this on Friday before the bright side. Let's see if you've been paying attention all week. Greg said, I want to play. Hey, Greg, are you there?
Yes, I am, John. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir. That's nice of you to say, and welcome to the show. Where do you live?
Crystal Lake.
What are you doing today, Greg?
Actually, I'm driving a truck. I'm pulled over to the side and parked right now.
You're a delivery guy, are you?
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you a prize, even though I think I have to recut the jingle, because the jingle says there is no prize. But, in fact, we're going to give you some prizes, including a Lou Malnati's pizza. But let's see how many of the 10 questions today you can get right. You ready?
I'm ready.
You can reach out to Kim Gordon for an assist. If Mary's around, she'll give you a hand on one. And Kristen Decker's my producer. You get three lifelines. Question number one. Summer is over. How many people did L.A. lifeguards rescue at the beaches this year? A, 123, B, 645, C, 10,000.
10,000.
He says 10,000. That's correct. Nicely done. Question number two. Devin Hester returned his record-setting what touchdown? 14th, 15th, or 20th on Thursday Night Football last night?
20th.
20th.
He's doing good.
He doesn't need us.
No, yeah. Not yet. What percent registered to vote in Scotland yesterday? 75%, 83%, or 97% of the eligible voters registered?
Well, I know it's mega. Gosh, I don't know if it's 87 or 93. I'll say 80, the second one's 87.
He says the middle one, 83% he's going to go with. He's wrong.
The last one.
97. How about that?
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah.
The new average waistline in America, it went up again, is now 39 inches, 42 inches, or 53 inches.
Wow.
I'll ask Mary on that one. How's that?
Oh, thanks a lot.
That's just because you pay attention, Mary.
Let's see.
That's all.
Well, 39, 50 is way too big. So
42 or 53. 39
I'm
or 42.
I'm going to go with the 42.
She says 42.
Say 39. Yeah. Couldn't
just
53. Wow.
I know. Well, we just concluded Earth's warmest recorded summer. The average worldwide temperature for the last 3 months was 61 degrees, 72.5, or 75.2. What's the world's average temperature for the last 3 months, Greg?
I would say the first one.
He says 61.3. On his 1909 big game safari, how many animals did Teddy Roosevelt and his son Quentin kill? Did they bag 74 animals, 314 animals, or on that safari did they kill 1,100 animals?
Oh, well, I listened to part of it, and I heard, okay, I'm going to say 1,300 animals, the third one.
1,100 animals.
Yep.
Of those, how many were lions? 9, 17. It's just tragic. They killed everything but the driver. 9.
Was he with him or something?
I know. They killed 1,100 animals, him and his son, on this safari.
No wonder everything's extinct.
They killed 20 rhinoceroses. They killed 6 giraffes. Okay, how many lions did they bag? 9, 17, or 27?
I'm going to say 27.
27. I kind of threw you a curveball there. It was 17. No. Two more. How much revenue did the NFL make last year? $9.5 billion, $187 billion, or all of the money? The NFL has all of the money.
The first one, $9.5 billion.
$9.5 billion. Yep. Revenue for the NFL last year, and that is correct. Ding, 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 ding. Question number 9. Day one last Friday, Apple set a record for pre-orders for the new iPhone. How many people signed up to get it last Friday? 545,000? B, 4 million? C, 45 million?
Oh,
this was
wow.
A number in the news.
Yeah. I don't think they sold 45 million of them, but then again, there's a lot of kooks out there. I would say the second one.
4 million. He's going to go with 4. And finally, Barbara Streisand made her first non-cameo TV appearance this week on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. How many years had it been 50. Since she'd 50, he says. He says 50. I didn't even get to the options. You get bonus points for knowing the answer off the top of your head like that, Greg.
Oh, nice. Very good. Thank you.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you, sir. Thanks for listening. Kristen will tell you about
again.
The prizes you've won.
I really enjoy listening to you when I'm driving. Those 2 hours are awesome with you.
Well, it's fun for us too, my friend, and we're going to make sure you enjoy a Lou Malnati's pizza. I've also got a $50 Builder's Supply Outlet gift certificate for you for quality cabinets and countertops, doors, flooring, plumbing at true outlet prices, buildersupplyoutlet.com. All right, let's pause and tell me what your good news is now. Call that same number, 312-981-7200. Numbers in the News is gone. Here comes the bright side of life. Next on WGN. Here's our little Friday song.
Some things in life are bad.
This is the bright side.
They really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse.
I have one line open.
When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble, give a whistle.
Call in now.
And this'll help things turn out for the best.
Sing it home.
Always look.
How about you, Mary? What's your bright side? What are you smiling about on this lovely Friday?
It's a great afternoon for a long bike ride.
Always.
Jim, you want to play? What's your bright side
absolutely.
In the newsroom?
Absolutely. I'm having lunch with my grandmother tomorrow, who turned 88 this week.
If life seems jolly rotten.
My bright side, that Derek Jeter Gatorade ad. I've only watched it about 5 times. I'm going to watch it a few more.
In the dumps. Stop! happy, silly chance.
Derek, if you're listening, don't break our hearts now. Just be Derek Jeter. That's all we want.
Always look on the bright side.
Why are you smiling on this lovely Friday? Patty, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
Hi, John. I had a biopsy at the amazing Lynn Sage Breast Cancer Center at Northwestern on Monday. And on Tuesday, I got the call that it was benign.
You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your sin.
Patty, thanks for the call. Hey, Kim, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Kim? Why are you smiling?
My family just got back from Cabo, and they're landing right now.
Oh, man, I'm telling you. They've got stories to tell, I'll bet, huh?
They do. They do. It was pretty scary, but they're all home and they're safe.
This is Randy. You're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Randy?
Hey, John. My bright side is in 2 weeks, my wife Susan and I will be celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary, and I can't believe she still puts up with my bullcrap.
When you're feeling in the
This is Kathy. Why are you smiling, Kathy? You're on WGN. What's your bright side?
We were supposed to be in Cabo this past week, but my husband found out he had to have surgery, so we had to cancel. So we weren't there for the hurricane.
That's the beauty of the bright side. That is the glass being half full. My bright side is my husband had surgery. We couldn't go to Cabo.
Life is quite absurd.
All right, let's pick up with Sandy. You're on WGN. Sandy, what's the bright side for you?
My bright side is in an hour from now, I will find out what I'm going to have for my 11th grandchild. I'm so happy for my son and his girlfriend.
Hey, Rich, you're on WGN Radio. Why are you smiling over there, Rich?
Hey, King John, back on July 22nd, I had open-heart surgery. And on September 22nd, this coming Monday, I get to go back to work.
Always look on the light side of life.
You know, I say after calls like that sometimes, we live in amazing times, don't we? Let's go to, is it Siobhan? Hey, you're on WGN. What's your bright side?
It's Siobhan, and my son, who's in the United States Army, was deployed last week and will be coming home in 9 months.
Siobhan, thank you, and thanks to him for his service. Janice, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Janice?
Hey, John. Hey, can I tell you where I'm going to be telling you about it from? I'm in Shabana Lake, and it was the same place I heard that you were leaving. So I was sad then, but I'm happy now there.
Well, thank you for that. Yeah. Roberta, you're on WGN. What's your bright side, Roberta?
Hi. Today we celebrate my youngest grandson's 11th birthday. He has a heart of gold. Happy birthday, Jack.
About, let's see here. Who's next? I guess line 10, huh? And that is Gary. You're on the air. Gary, what's your bright side? Why are you smiling over there? Hey, Gary. Gary. I'll come back to Gary. On line 10, let's go to line 11. Jan, you're on the air. Why are you smiling?
Hello, King John. I'm so happy you're back on the air. I'm almost at Mount Vernon, Illinois, and I hear you loud and clear. And
no
I'm
kidding.
I'm headed to my 45th high school reunion in Sparta, Illinois.
Mount Vernon, that's a piece. Have fun. Going back to the class reunions, my own observation is the women always look better than the men. They're holding up a lot better than we are.
Life is quite absurd.
How about Tom? Hey, Tom, you're on WGN. Why are you smiling, Tom?
Hi, John. Well, I want to smile about the fact that we know Teddy Roosevelt is a conservationist and he went to Africa to preserve animals or eat them, but not to be disrespectful of them.
That's what he said. He said they were all either used for meat or science, so it wasn't the carnage that we make it out to be. Right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly right.
I don't believe that, but there you are. By the way, I just violated the only rule of the bright side, and that is we never judge other people's happiness.
The light side of life.
So we'll move on. Thank you, sir. Let's talk to Stan. Hey, Stan, why are you smiling over there? You're on WGN.
I am smiling today because my father was able to beat the heart attack and stay stubborn not to let him take it.
He's too mean to have a heart attack and let it take him, huh?
That's right. The reaper came to his front door and he said, hell no, get out.
Let's see. Is that Ronald on line 9? Ronald, you're on the air. What's your bright side?
Hi, King John. My bright side is that back in July, my wife was diagnosed with colon cancer, and she had surgery immediately, and we just got the good word from the oncologist day before yesterday. She's completely cancer-free, and she will not have to have chemotherapy.
On Fridays, we say, tell us the good news in your world. Why are you smiling? And we smile with you. Our bright side is sponsored by Conasec and Dillon. It's on WGN. It's 11:58 on WGN. Surratt and Murciano getting ready to do their show. Hi, campers.
Hey there.
I got up too early this morning, and
I'm still on Europe time.
I think that's it.
Oh yeah.
You know they say if you can't sleep, just don't toss and turn. Get up, do something, and it's great. I got a lot done this morning, but now I'm ready to go to sleep.
I know. You really have to fight that.
Wait 45 minutes, Bob.
Oh, that's right. It's an abbreviated version of the broadcast because
that's right. Yeah.
We've got the Cubs playing this afternoon, and Larry King has thrown out the first pitch before the Dodgers game. We'll talk to Larry at about 12:20 or so today, and before
Larry
that.
Will that give him enough time to prepare for throwing out the first pitch?
He's calling us from the car on the way there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Len Casper, we'll check in with him at about 12:10. We'll talk about that humongous New York Times piece on the Cubs that's in there today.
Oh, no, I didn't see that. The Times have a piece about the Cubs?
Big overview on just about everything, the rickets and the purchase of the team and the rooftops and where they're going and where they've been.
Do they mention you at all in that article?
I haven't. You know, it's about 14 pages, I think.
He's
and
on
I
the
have,
second page.
Oh, well, no, they don't mention fans in here by name anyway. But I remember being out there when they didn't announce the attendance. They just announced the names of the people there. The upper deck was closed, and not many of us were out there.
We'd like to thank Bob and Marianne for coming out to the ballpark today.
These aren't the first lean times, but the only difference is they still pack the park now because Wrigleyville is Wrigleyville.
Know Although I mean? Attendance is a little down, don't
it,
you
It
notice?
Is off. Yeah, it is off a little bit, and they have a lot of no-shows. But I, as I will say to Len Casper here in about 10 minutes or so, I've got a prediction for next year, and it's going to startle people. But I have some inside information.
Uh-oh.
All right. Mm-hmm. We're all listening. We're on bated breath now.
Yeah, John, you sound really, really excited about
that. Yeah, I'll stay near the radio for that.
Yep. Have a good one.